We speak to Salman Khan of the Masjid and Imams Advisory Council of South Africa, known as MINACSA. Salman, jazakallah khairan for your time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Brother Ibrahim, to you and to your family and all the beautiful listeners of the Radio Islam International. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi and shukran for your time. Before we talk about the concerns, this is an initiative that has been in existence for several years already. Just give us a background to MINACSA.
Well, MINACSA is a Masjid and Imam National Advisory Council of South Africa. It is an independent and voluntary body. It is not a legislative body. The conversation started, I think it was, 2017, on one of the WhatsApp group that some of the imams was complaining that 7 months they have not been paid and so on and on and on. And then we start discussing that it just cannot happen in our affluent society in South Africa. We do so much of a charity work to the Syria, to Palestine, to Kashmir, and our backyard, we have a certain problem. So then I was tasked to look into the matter. And then, of course, we done a scientific survey, and we done a survey of over 700 imams and muezzins and apas and everywhere. And then the finding was quite horrific, that 90% of the imams and muezzins did not have any written contract. Some of the apas was getting paid in kef flat, 650 rand for the full-time job. Most of the average in low-lying area imams are getting paid 1,500 rand, and they don't get the average work by the law. You need to work around 48 hours per week. They were working as 120 hours. They don't get the annual leave, and they do not have the minimum wage standard. And some of the new mosques in the northern or in affluent area, the new youngster, those who have become mutawallis, they were firing the imams like nobody's business. And I think those are the areas that we start looking into that. And also the one of the very, very important discourse that we started, and I think we get some headway, that also the imams are the most important people in our community. And it goes without the saying that they are the most neglected people. The imam in many, I can give you some Lanesia, Lodiam, and Chatsworth, in Durban and Cape Town. Imam worked for 29, 30 years at the mosque. And when he finished, then he like become almost like a destitute, because there is no pension fund, no provident fund, no savings for him. He worked, and after the 30 year of the services, some of the imam has been given a bag of a millimi and say assalamu alaikum and jazakallah imam, and within a month you must vacate the servant quarter and the new imam move in. So I think we as a nation, we start looking, and discourses start, a lot of trustees start looking inwardly and start looking at the contract, the basic wages and salaries and saving plans. But the situation does not improve as much as we want it to. We look at the short-term and long-term intervention. And one of the way intervention, we look at it, the imams, those who are very, very pious people, those are the blessing to the community. They will be the last people to come into the openly and discussing their problems. So one of the major problem is that imam can manage its own affair, but when it's come to the kids and when it's come to the medical problems, they don't have a medical aid given by the mosque. So what happened? They keep it quiet and they suffer. And it's very difficult for them. So what we've done, the partnership as a resource mobilization with, alhamdulillah, with the Dr. Wadi and some other people, Swadi Suleiman, from the IME and Islamic Medical Association of South Africa. And we say willing doctor and willing patient, and we make a database. We issue the MINACSA card, medical card, which is alhamdulillah in Gauteng. Over 300 imams and muezzins and their families have received this card, where if there is a problem, medical problem, they contact us and we find the matching doctor. And alhamdulillah, there has been many, many good stories that we can share. But today, our issue is completely different.
Yes, and obviously, but I think that background is very important. And if we talk about imams and muezzins being vulnerable under normal circumstances, in particularly impoverished areas, at this time, they would be even more vulnerable. Just tell us about some of the reports that you've been getting and the cries for help, if you'd like.
Yes, the sad thing is that, like, from the the minute this thing starts, we're getting the calls from the muezzins and imams that, you know what, now we have a lockdown issue, and some of the masjids in the low-lying areas, like in the townships, where there is no proper trust, where there's not, and is run by just a donation. The muezzins and imams, those who relied on a weekly masjid collection from the from the crowd or from the musallis, those who come. But now there is no Friday prayer. They don't get the weekly wages. And they're already getting into the situation where they don't have the food at home and they do not know how to live their life. And, of course, the month is going to go 21 days. And we have a problem. I mean, the problem is it become more difficult than how one would like to. If I start giving you the list of the people from the different area, from the Lanesia, from the Thambisa, from Chesford, from the Cave Flat, how you actually get the food parcel to them and how do you. So I think it's a very important conversation that we need to really elaborate, maybe more in detail. But at the moment, I think we have already a call up to today, this evening. I had already 15 Imam and Muezzin has approached very quietly and they said, we are in a very desperate situation. We do not have the money to leave and we do not have the food and we need to go and buy, but we do not have the means to buy. So I think when I put the message to you, were very kind to take a note and you say Radio Islam would like to take initiative to discuss this matter. So that's why we are here. And I think it is on our, as much as we sitting home and praying, but our imams and muezzins should not be neglected. And I think it is going to be the additional, the azab, and it's going to be a sin for us that if we neglect them at their trying times.
So these are, if you'd like to use the terminology of the day, these are essential workers in the Muslim community and they cannot be abandoned at this time. You've highlighted the concern. Are there any mechanisms? Are there any programs in place, initiatives to be able to now respond, whether it's financially, materially, whatever it is?
Yes. What we have normally, when we deal with the Imam medical card, most of the doctors, they don't charge the consulting fees and so on and on and on. But when this become like x-rays and blood and all, we have some laboratory, those who help, but sometimes they need to go for a specialized test. Then we do the ad hoc funding, and alhamdulillah, the Ashraful Ulum put some money, and IMA have put some money, and then we use that fund to book. But now, for this purpose, we do not have any fund, and we're looking for the funding. And I know that you have very short time to discuss this matter, I'd like to give our website address there where you will be able to find on the front page the COVID Emergency Imam and Muezzin Fund. So there you can go and look for our account, and it will go and administered by the Ashraful Ulum, which is in Marlborough. And then, of course, once we receive the money, we distribute. So our website address is www.minicasa. So it is the Masjid and Imam National Advisory Council of South Africa, SA.org only. So if you go and you search, I'm sure you will be able to put it onto the website at your radio station as well. And once you go onto the front page, you will see the COVID Imam and Muezzin Emergency Fund. So if you would like to give any type of donation or whatever, there are two accounts, Lillah and Zakat, share it, and then just put it to the COVID Fund Imam. And so if we can put our, the heart together for in this trying time for the Imams and Muezzins, and also I think by having a discourse, alhamdulillah, that your radio station will bless, and the trustees of the radio station yourself will bless, because a lot of people will be listening, all of a sudden they might have not thought of it. They start thinking now, we got the imams and we know some of the masjid. One of the imam called, he said, my problem is that I'm looking after the 30 students at the madrasa, plus I got the, a jamaat khana. But nobody coming to the jamaat khana, and the kids also at the mercy of, they normally used to get nourishment and the food from the thing. Now the management or the trustee of the madrasa, it is in the Primrose area, he live in Namibia. So he comes only once a month. And when he comes, he was in such a rush to get out because of the lockdown that he's not going to come back for 21 days. So now he is stuck with his students and his family. So these are also, that people from Zambia, Zaire, those are supporting the madrasa in South Africa, they're not going to be able to come. And normally they come and give the cash to the. So I think it's a wider conversation. We need to take it to the more detail. But at the moment, our appeal is to our greater, the Muslim community, which is very, very generous, and that please go to our website and take my telephone number down, send me the WhatsApp if you like to have, and there is a legitimate NGO registered, plus the 18A certificate will be given, and we will be able to channel this money. We're not saying that if the mom is earning 5,000 or 7,000, we must give full. Whatever we can assist, so at least they don't just sit at home without a money and they don't have the money to buy the grocery. Mm-hmm. And my cell phone number is 082-691-6048. I'm sorry, I didn't ask your permission, but I'm sure you allow me to say. It's 082-691-6048. Our website is miniksa.org. And, of course, you can Google it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to share those details once more. Just before we go, just once again, the synopsis of what we've been speaking, and, you know, you are privy to information that perhaps most of us are not privy to, the calls from the imams, the calls from the muazzin. Just highlight once again for us why this is such an important need and why the need is so dire.
Yeah, the messages that I'm going to share with you also on the WhatsApp, the messages we're receiving, that's a desperate messages by saying, now we do not have the Friday, and we used to rely on a Friday collection for our daily wages, you know, our wages for the week. Now we're not going to be able to get the money, and how are we going to live our life? And that's coming from Thambisa, Alexandra, Orange Farm, especially, I think it's a couple of places in Orange Farm. And of course, as the time goes by, every hour or two, I get one or two more adding on. This evening, just we have seven more of the people approached to us. So please, I mean, just look around and find out if you can directly go and help. If not, then please come to the website. And I think it is going to be indictment on our society and this, that a lot of people are putting the money into the president fund, which, mashallah, alhamdulillah, that we should do. But our most important, the people after our family, is our imam and muezzins. Because as far as myself concerned, I'm not a theological maulana or a khatib or mufti, but I know that the blessing from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to the community in the mosque and from there, because the mosque is the nucleus of the society and our community, and from there it gets spread it out. If the imam is going to be in a sakrat, and if the imam is going to be in a distress, what type of blessing that we're going to get to our communities in this trying time? So think about it. And do not hold on to your generosities, and try to do what you can do, and just spread this news to the other people that our imams, those normally they are very discreet people, and they have their own dignity, and mm-hmm. maybe they will not come forward. So we need to really take this initiative, whatever we can do, to make sure that we reach out to them.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of sadness in the community because of this connection with Masajid that has been interrupted. But whilst we, you know, remember our connection to the Masjid, let's not also forget the people of the Masjid, particularly the Imam and the Muazzin, and there might also be some other laborers involved there. And I thank you for highlighting this evening. I'll share those details just after you go. But shukran for your time, Brother Salman, and once again, all the best, and hopefully this creates more awareness around the issue.
Jazakallah khair. You have our banking detail. I'm not going to give on the phone because it will take too much of our time. You can put on our website, or you can discreetly pass it on the people, those who will contact you. And may Allah Ta'ala save us, all of us, and save the humanity, save the people distressed in already distressed in places like Palestine, Uyghur Muslims in China, Myanmar and Kashmir, everywhere else. Let's make the pray not for the Muslims, but also make a pray for the humanity, and especially for the South African Muslim and non-Muslims as well. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is Brother Salman Khan, who is from the Imams National Advisory, Masjid and Imams National Advisory Council of South Africa, which is called Minaksa. And the details about his appeal for imams as well as muazzins at this difficult time can be found on this website. And the website, as he shared earlier, is minaksa.org, minaksa.org. And you can navigate yourself there to the COVID-19 Imams and Muazzins Emergency Call that's available there on the website.